Well, I want to speak this morning. I've titled it, Let's Reason Together. And I want to, by God's grace, try and reason with you that you might begin to reason with the Lord. I'd like to try and give you reason or convince you that you need to reason with the Lord. But the Bible tells us, and whenever we look at the time, how it seemingly time flies by, and it seems to me that it's going really fast, but the Bible says in Jeremiah 8:20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And I hope that's not something that you're saying, but I know that that's something that many are saying. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, we're not saved. We see another winter has passed, another new year has come upon us, and this new year, we're already in April. Time is flying right on past, going. But the Lord's given you another opportunity to come to Christ, another opportunity to be saved. And I know a lot of churches don't seem to put much emphasis on salvation, but that's what I want to do. Salvation is the primary concern here. I want to see you saved. I don't want you to continue on outside of Christ and then die and wake up in hell. What an awful thought. What an awful thought. But I come here and I want to reason with you. I want to tell you, it seems, you know, we grow up all our lives and we hear about heaven and we hear about hell and we believe there is such a place, generally speaking, but do you realize, is it a reality to you? Is hell real to you? I mean, we speak of it, many people, lightly, but is it real to you? Because it's like I was saying, it's going to come to pass. This life is going to end sooner or later. One day it's going to be over. And your destiny, your eternal destiny, is going to be one of those two places, either heaven or hell. And I look around and I listen to other churches and what they're preaching, and it seems that there's so much error in the world today. You know, whenever you die, if you go through this life and you make a profession of faith, you give your heart to Jesus, as they say, or you say the sinner's prayer, or you do whatever your church maybe supports, and they call it salvation. You know, when you die, God knows. He knows who He saved. And if you go through your life on a false profession, thinking that you're saved, and then you die, do you think you can come up before the great white throne and say, hold on there, God, I was lied to. They lied to me. No, I'm sorry. It don't work like that. If you're outside of Christ when you die, you'll spend eternity separated from God. There'll be no second chances. And whenever I think of these things, I come here and I do all that I can to point out the error. I try and reason with you to make you think. And I think about all these radio stations. You know, I know most of you in the chapel here this morning, most of you have heard the way we preach. You understand primarily what I'm speaking. But a lot of these radio stations, there's a great potential audience that doesn't quite understand. And I realize that we come as like a lighthouse, a beacon in the dark, shining forth the light to people who have never heard the gospel before. And I realize people may hear me this morning and say, what do you mean? I go to church every day, every Sunday, all the time. I'm big in the church and I this and that. But that doesn't mean they're preaching the gospel. And I want to tell you today, if you're going to a church that's not preaching the gospel, you can call yourself saved, and you can rely on it, and you can take comfort from the fact that you said a sinner's prayer, that you gave your heart to Jesus, or you shook a preacher's hand, joined a church, whatever it is. When judgment day comes, will it hold up? Will it hold up? And I want to do all that I can to tell you heaven is real. Hell is real. The fire in hell is real. And I want to call you. You are responsible. You can go to a church where the preacher lies to you all you want, but that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility. It's your responsibility to get a good Bible and read it, study it. You're not going to have any excuse there on Judgment Day. You're not. Many people think that God's kind of like Santa Claus. You know, we talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and these things. Many people think that God's a little more than a fairy tale. Yeah, I believe in God. But do you? Do you really believe? Most people think that there is a God. And if you do the right things, that he'll help you, that he'll bless you, different things. But they act like it's all dependent on you and what you do. They believe that God's busy. He's far away. Anything that's going to happen in your life, you're going to have to do it. But I want to tell you, God is very much interested in this life, in your life, in my life. He is very much interested. The Bible tells us that he knows the hairs on your head. How many hairs are on your head? Now, do you think that that means he's not interested? When he can take note of the most minute things about you, I believe that that means he knows everything about you. He takes a great effort in paying attention to every detail. He knows all these things. God is not a little God, far off, unconcerned with your life and the things of the world. God has a plan for all of us, a plan for the world. He knows everything that's going to happen. God is an all-knowing, all-powerful God. He knows all about you. He knows all that you've done. He knows all that you will do. And I know a lot of people want to take issue and say, well, that means that I'm going to have to do those things. It doesn't mean that. It means that God already knows the choices that you will make. He knows. Now, I can't understand that. But that's what the Bible teaches us. Whenever you think about God and how you feel about God and how you think about God and what you think God is and the salvation that you have and all these things, do others look at you, talk to you, work with you, around you, and those things? Do they take notice of you and like they told Peter and others there that they took notice that they had been with Jesus? Does it show forth in your life? Or are you just another worldly person, Christian so-called? How does God, you might say, rate? What do you think of God? How do you consider God in your life? You consider him far off, way over there, unconcerned. If you scream really loud and get in a really, really bad problem and you pray hard enough, then maybe the Lord will take a little notice of you and help you. Is that the way you think of God? God is right here, right now, all the time. He's not far away. He's not unaware. He's here. He knows. The problem that we have is we think he's far away. We want to act like he doesn't know. He don't know what I'm doing. He don't know what I've been sneaking around doing. He don't know this. He don't know that. No, the Lord knows everything about you. And whenever you begin to seek the Lord and become concerned for your soul, you're going to have to confess all those things to the Lord. Like Brother Freddie was saying in Bible school, you're going to have to confess them. Everything, all about it. Confess it to the Lord. Repent of it. Plead with him for salvation. We don't hear that in most churches today. But there is a God, and he's going to judge every one of us on Judgment Day. That day is going to happen. It's going to come around. Now, you look around at this life today, to me, it seems like the Lord could come at any minute, any time. It seems so close to the Lord's coming. But at the same time, I know that God is long-suffering, and the Lord could put it off if it were his purpose and his will. He could put it off for another 100 years, and he might. But I don't see it happening. But that's God's business, and I leave it with him. But God is willing to save. He calls you to come. He's willing to pardon your transgressions now. Now. When you die, it's going to be too late. No more opportunities after death. It's now. When people begin to think about God, think about their soul, think about heaven and hell, Judgment Day, and those things, many times you begin to think about salvation. Many people will. Some will say, well, I don't need to be saved. What do I need to be saved from? They say, well, I know God's going to send all the bad people to hell. But I'm not that bad of a person. I don't think the Lord would send me to hell. Is that the way you feel? Do you need saving? Do you? Are you a bad person? Will you, when you die, will you go to heaven? Will you? Will you really go to heaven when you die? Heaven's a real place. It's a real place. Many people think, well, I'm not so bad that God would send me to hell. I think I'll be okay. I've had people tell me that. I've also had people say, well, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Some of the most ungodly people I've known have told me that. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, let me ask you, when you start talking about going to heaven and your hopes for entering heaven, what is your hopes based on? What makes you think that you'll make it into heaven? Why do you think you'll go there? What's your hope based on? You say, I think I'll go to heaven. Will you? The Bible tells us, make your calling and election sure. That's 2 Peter 1:10. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure you've sought the Lord. Make sure you've come to Christ for salvation. Make sure. And that's not the only time. It tells us the same thing somewhere. I forget where it is. But it's in the Bible twice. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure. Don't build your hopes on false foundations. You won't really know. You won't have an absolute answer that you can hold to until you die. And if you're wrong, it'll be too late. Now I tell you, to make sure that you're saved. And I want to give you this one scripture. It's nothing new. I've seemed like I've read it many times lately. But this is why you need to make sure. And it's that scripture, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Those that do the will of God. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Have you made your calling and election sure? He's telling us right here that casting out devils, great works, but they're going to be rejected of Christ. He says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If these doing these great works in thy name done many wonderful works, what about you that have not cast out devils and have not done these many wonderful works? What are you holding to? Why do you think that you're going to be in heaven when you die? What are you holding to? Christ told us many. You see that? He says, many will say to me in that day, many, there are many deceived even now by Satan. Many think they're saved. Many think they're going to go to heaven when they die. But the Bible tells us plainly that that same scripture, enter into straight gate. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And few that find it. Few. Many going in the wide, the broad gate. To put it plainly and bluntly, this tells us in few words, many are going to hell and only a few are going to be saved. Where does that leave you? Are you one of the few? You think you can make it to heaven? On what basis? Why? The Bible tells us if our gospel be hid, and I believe it is hidden, or there would not be so many that can't find that straight, narrow way. He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The Bible also tells us over in Revelation that Satan deceives the whole world. What do you have that you're holding up or holding to or believing in that makes you think that you're going to get to heaven when you die? What are you hoping in? When the Bible tells us of that broad way, broad, easy, smooth path that goes to hell. What are you holding in? What are you looking to with your deceived mind, blinded mind, the deception of Satan? How do you think you're going to get to heaven? I want to reason with you. I know I feel like I'm just telling you that you have no hope. But what I'm trying to do is put away the common hope, the false hope. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Nobody's going to tell you that you don't need to consider your eternal destiny. I don't believe anybody will say that. Not plainly as such, but they are telling you pretty much the same thing in other words, deceptive words, when they tell you, well, just say this prayer. Just believe. Give your heart to Jesus. They're denying God's word. It's not in there. It's a deception of Satan. It's that same word, the one that tells us of Satan's deception, the same word that tells us of the blinded mind, that same word tells you to make sure. Make sure. And then look what it says, Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that's what I want to do. I want to counsel you, speak to you, reason together with you. Don't let your own thoughts of salvation be based on error, falsehood, those things. Proverbs 14:12. Listen. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What are you holding to? What do you expect to get you into heaven? Your mind is blind, is deceived by Satan, is darkened. You can't do what you think is right until you take your thoughts and compare them with God's word and see what God says. And if your thoughts agree with God's word, then you can take them. You can rely on them. But only when you've compared them with God, with God's word. The blind, deceived mind will always make a wrong choice. Always. Not most of the time, not some of the time, but always. If your mind is never enlightened, if you never see that you're a lost, deceived sinner, you will never make the right choice. You won't. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to the saints there at Ephesus, he made this statement. He says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened," being enlightened. In other words, that darkened understanding had a light come into it. That blinded mind was illuminated, and the eyes were opened. He says that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance with the saints, that you'll know. But you won't know until that understanding is enlightened. Because by nature, it's darkened. You can't see, you can't understand. Until you're enlightened, you can never be saved. You can never know what faith is. You're just a sinner before God. When you say you're going to go to heaven, you think you'll go to heaven, you claim to be saved, does your salvation align itself with God's word, with what the Bible tells us? Does it? You say, "Well, I believe Jesus died for me." Is that all you have? What does the Bible tell us? The Bible says that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Were you ever lost? Were you ever lost? If you were never lost, then Christ didn't come to find you. Now you consider that. Did you ever seek the Lord with all your heart? According to Jeremiah 29:13. Did you? How did you know when you were seeking with all your heart? How did you know? To seek with all your heart means to seek with one purpose in mind, with an undivided heart. Focus completely on getting to Christ. It means there's only one thing that you want. Everything else has faded away. Look what else the Bible tells us. It tells us the mind is blinded by Satan. Have you ever come to see that you're blinded? Have you? I'm not talking about a symbolic blindness, where you just maybe can't understand certain things of the Bible and what have you, but no, it's a real spiritual blindness. Satan, the old deceiver, has your mind blinded. Has he duped you into believing that you can say the sinner's prayer and be saved? Has he duped you into believing that you can join a church and shake a preacher's hand and that's what salvation is? What are you holding to? Did you ever come and reason with the Lord? As in Isaiah 1:18, where he says, come now and let us reason together. Have you ever come to the Lord? What about repentance? Christ said, except you repent, you'll perish. He said it twice so that there wouldn't be a mistake. Have you ever found that you've repented? Has the Lord ever brought you to repentance? Has he ever granted you repentance? Have you ever come to see that you can't repent? How does your salvation stack up? The Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then the Bible goes on and tells us that faith, to believe, is a gift from God. Have you come to see that you can't believe? You think you have it in your own power to believe? You can't exercise a faith that you don't have. The Bible tells us all these things. Do you believe them? You can't exercise faith if you don't have it. God must give it to you. He must give you repentance. Read your Bible. It's not something you can do. Have you ever come to the point in your life where you could see and understand, well, I can't believe. I can't repent. I can't get honest with the Lord. If you dig down deep enough, you'll probably even say, well, I don't even want to be saved. I just don't want to go to hell. How does your salvation stack up? Did you just come to church, hear a sermon, start feeling emotional, run down to the altar and say the sinner's prayer? Is that your salvation? Is it? Have you ever come to see that you hate God? You don't want anything to do with him? The Bible tells us, Romans 8:7, you go there and read it. This list could go on and on. On and on. How does your salvation stack up? Can you compare your salvation with what God's Word says? Do you believe God's Word? True salvation will agree with all of God's Word. All of it. Not just one or two points. It's going to agree with all that's in the Bible. What kind of salvation do you have? How does your salvation hold up? What I want to do, my purpose here, is to cause you to see and to understand that you're on that broad road to hell and don't know it. That's just a cold, hard fact. The Bible says many. And when you contrast the many and the few, you have to say the most. Most of the world is on that broad path to hell. Where were you? The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible is telling you, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come and reason with him. Come and confess your sins to him. Believe what he says. Obey the Lord. Don't keep putting it off. Are you so deceived that you won't believe anything you've heard? Are you so hardened that you won't have it? I'm only trying to warn you. I'm telling you what God's word says. I'm calling on you. Make your calling and election sure. I believe that 90% of the world today believes they're going to heaven. And it's just not so. The Lord has warned us to make sure that you're saved. And if you won't make sure, then you can blame no one but yourself when you wake up in hell. Now, it's not on me to get you saved or to bring you to Christ. It's on you to make sure that you're not deceived. It's on you. You're going to have to get up, get your Bible, study it. Well, our time's up. I praise the Lord for my salvation, for what the Lord's done for me. And I call on you to plead with the Lord. Look to him. He's able to save. Our Father, I thank you now for another day. Thank you for all thy blessings to us. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to send the gospel out over so many means and ways and different opportunities, Lord. We just ask you to go with each message, each radio station, and Lord, bless it according to thy will. Help us, Lord. Go with us through another day. And I ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.